You're listening to the Hudson River, a weekly half-hour program about the nature, culture, and beauty of one of America's great waterways. The Hudson River is produced at Vassar College and brought to you in cooperation with this radio station. I'm your host, Mark Breslov. Coming up, we speak with Anaya Lockwood about her recording, A Sound Map of the Hudson River, an audio journey from the Hudson's source at Lake Tear of the Clouds to its mouth in New York City. We try our hand ourselves at recording the river's many voices in one tiny cove at Norrie Point. And Sean Anderson's audio kaleidoscope focuses us on young people's experience of Clearwater's long-standing Great Hudson River Revival Festival. All this and more next on the Hudson River. On this week's Hudson River Culture segment, we listen through his audio kaleidoscope as Sean Anderson takes free rein in reporting, hosting, and producing an audio portrait of the Hudson's longest-running annual event.
In 1969, with the help of folk singer Pete Seeger and others, the sailing sloop Clearwater was launched to increase awareness about the Hudson. The potluck folk picnics, begun in 1967 to help raise funds to build the boat, gave rise to what has become one of New York State's largest annual festivals, Clearwater's Great Hudson River Revival. Held on the banks of the stunningly scenic Croton Point Park in Westchester County, the outdoor festival combines a kaleidoscope of music, dance, storytelling, crafts, food, and activism. One of the festival's hallmarks is that it draws people of all ages and many backgrounds. In June of 2002, with the revival in its 36th year, I went looking for one slice of that diversity, the high school and college-aged perspective on the festival in all its aspects. Most of the young people interviewed in the crowd seemed initially attracted to the festival's music.
It's a fun time. Music's good.
The people and the music.
Pete Seeger and Dar Williams.
Wow. And Richie Havens is godlike. I need
Dar Williams.
Alan
Williams.
Young Hart.
Who were just about to go. Yeah, Alan Young.
My nails yesterday were really good.
Yeah, a bunch of great people.
Here for music, friends, nature, to do my part and to have a lot of fun.
Catching any number of the more than 35 musical acts was not the limit of young people's interest in the Clearwater Revival, though.
Just the vibe of the whole place. I mean, not only the music's incredible every year, you know, but they've got all the clothes, they've got all, you know, all kinds of great stuff here.
The people, the atmosphere, the food.
Well, my parents are volunteering here, and I live by the Hudson River all my life, and the causes are good.
The activist area, comprised of tables for 45 different organizations, certainly proved a draw for much of the youth audience. Others had not yet warmed up to the political side of the festival.
That's all a huge part of it.
I mean,
especially now with the whole Indian Point thing, they have people walking all over this place with petitions to sign it. And I mean, it's great. I mean, everybody supports it. Yeah.
It's awesome that you can gather this many activists in one place to all agree on stuff.
I want to shut down Indian Point. Yeah, that's right.
I like the alternative energy stuff. And I haven't really paid attention to the people that are always talking about the political side to it. They always seem like they're rambling too much to me. Like, I can't really listen. But I like the alternative energy. Like, it's really cool.
There's a difference between the new activists and the old activists, and it's nice to see them come together and work for a common cause. And
I don't see how you can't be involved with it, just from the point of view that, you know, everybody lives in nature and everybody has to deal with the systems that are polluted. So it's... everybody has to be a part of the solution, or else we're not going to make it anywhere.
If you're here to, like, help out the river and stuff, you can go to the specific areas, and like, but it's also like they're not trying to force it upon you, you know, like you can come with your kids and like hang out around here and just have a good time, but it's cool, so it's like for everybody, you know.
Nearly all of the young people agree that the location of the festival was ideal and that the rain did nothing to dampen spirits. They liked the mix of people and had interesting perspectives on parts of that mix.
This is a great spot for it, though. It's right on the river.
It's great that the rain doesn't ruin anything.
It's mixed. It's cool. There's, like, young people and older people and, like, lots of kids and stuff.
They're hippies. They're lovely, lovely hippies. hippies are nice people, and it's good that they get to walk around without shoes on. I'm glad that they get a festival.
No one's putting any pressure on anyone.
It's great. When I first came here, I thought... maybe a little bit was over my head. Some people were a little bit hippie-ish, but now I'm really feeling it. People are very eccentric and very into what they're doing, and I like that.
Ultimately, it was the river itself which proved to be the greatest unifying theme among the high school and college-age audience.
I just go fishing with my dad in the river. I mean, we wouldn't eat it, but take walks along the rocks. We went for a bike ride the other day along the bike path.
I used to row on the river. It was very nice. It would be a lot more fun if it was a little cleaner.
You felt like you had to do something because it's in our backyard.
I'm one of the few people here who probably swims in it every year. And it makes me really happy when I see fish and crabs and eels like jumping out of the water. And I know that this could be potentially like such a vital resource for the area, more than just commerce and dumping. It could be like a source of food, enjoyment, and nourishment. So I'd like to see that someday.
In 2003, Clearwater's Great Hudson River Revival takes place June 21st and 22nd. Visit us at www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu to learn more. For the Hudson River, I'm Sean Anderson.
If you've ever wondered what the story is behind most of the natural sounds you hear on this program, we have the answer today. Next on this week's Hudson River feature, composer Anaya Lockwood talks about her field recording and related exhibition, A Sound Map of the Hudson River, an oral journey from the Hudson's source to its mouth. Born in New Zealand, Lockwood is a colleague of John Cage, Pauline Oliveros, and Alvin Lucier, and was a professor of music for many years at Vassar College. In the first segment, we'll hear about the inspiration and motivations for her work, and listen to portions of her recordings, including from Norrie State Park Marina in Statsburg and Blue Ledge in the Adirondacks. I'm reading from a quote here that we found on the internet. One of the biggest discoveries to influence my later work happened when I simply set up a microphone at the window and recorded the sound environment. I started to listen to the sounds around me like one great composition. It sounds like that describes an epiphanal moment.
That would have been back in England, where I lived from through the 1960s into the early 1970s. I was living out in the countryside in Essex. I had been working for several years with glass as a sonic material and been treating that as a practice in focusing my oral attention on very fine details of the components going to make up what we think of as this sound or that sound. And then, yes, indeed, put a microphone at the window and just put on some headphones and listen to everything that was vibrating around me in the exterior world, and it was a complete flip-flop from fine, narrowly tuned detail to everything. And it was exhilarating. The texture of my oral world was suddenly very big and complex and full of interesting comings and goings in terms of sound.
So it took listening through headphones or a microphone to hear what was always there.
Yes. Yes, because that sort of listening immediately focuses, I find, all my senses, essentially. Headphones are very useful that way.
Turning to the work that you did on the recording A Sound Map of the Hudson River on Lovely Music, which came out in 1989, can you tell us about the adventure of recording a 315-mile river from its source to its mouth?
I actually made the work earlier than the CD release considerably. It was, just to give you a little background, it was commissioned by the Hudson River Museum in Yonkers. And I worked on it in, as I recall, 81 and finished editing it. And the museum exhibited it in 82 and is going to be exhibiting it again, actually. It's going to be included in a permanent exhibition on the Hudson River. And the process was delightful. I love hiking. I grew up with access, ready access to the Alps in New Zealand and love mountain country. And I decided very early on not to use boats. I would be sure to hit an oar against the canoe side. You know, all sorts of sounds like that would be sure to get on the tape. So I decided to use two boats and get access by car and on foot. And my companion, Ruth Anderson, and I went up into the Adirondacks and hiked up to the headwaters up in Lake Cheer of the Clouds on Mount Marcy on a nice wet spring, as I recall. very, very very muddy trails, but almost no one around. I recall sitting up by Lake Tear of the Clouds for several hours, just waiting for the right little gust of wind, waiting for a red-winged blackbird to start up again. And then, just over the course of that year, I made many, many trips hiking in and discovering spots that sounded exciting to my ears. The marina was particularly lovely. I remember getting up extremely early. I got down there by about 4:30 so that there'd be minimal air and road traffic coming through on the tapes, and just settled into this very peaceful, long sort of sitting in that marina, and it took a little while for those sounds to percolate, so to speak. They were very backgrounded. I conditioned myself to listen for moving water sounds, and of course what I was hearing was a result of moving water but not breaking water, and so it took a while for my brain to absorb that there was this really gorgeous counterpoint of squeaks and creaks and groans coming from the anchored float. Very peaceful. One of the more illuminating experiences I had doing the recording was Englewood Falls, where I was using a very narrowly focused Sennheiser microphone, which allows me to use a microphone very much like a flashlight, so I can, as it were, focus it or shine it on a particular sound source. So I climbed up the falls and would move the Sennheiser in arcing sweeps across the faces of the falls, the various trickles on the falls, which differed from each other beautifully, and got this scan.
A scan in what sense?
Well, with the mic I was able to bring out bring up the sound of this particular trickle and then move the mic slowly across the water face until I discovered another distinct sound that I could pull out of the mix and record another trickle where the rock was more prominent, or there was more of a pool at the base of the rock, or there was more action, more white water. Instead of getting an overall oral picture, I was doing fine detailed scrutiny of different parts of the falls.
An extension of your ears of sorts.
Yeah, real fun, nice technique. I think we generalize a lot when we listen to water sounds, in a sense orally generalize, taking a sort of homogenous picture. But just moving a mic a foot or so brings out very individual, very different little sound worlds.
Do you have a favorite place on the Hudson in terms of its oral or sonic characteristics?
Now that's a question I've never considered. Blue Ledge, I think, which is a gorge, not a very large gorge, but with the most beautiful rolling bass sounds, at least when I was there, in the upper Hudson, north of North River. Lovely stuff.
I didn't discern wind sounds in any of the recording. Is that because you screened the mic so well, or you just picked calm days?
Oh, a mix of things. Basically, when it was too windy, I simply wouldn't record. But at other times, I had real fun setting up little rock shelters, so to speak, around my microphone and using it as big a windshield. So all those rocks and down trees and so on along the riverbank were very handy, very useful.